Never have I ever been more grateful for a Friday than this particular Friday. Why, you may ask? Well, I don't know. It's been a long week. There was so much going on in the news cycle in terms of pop culture, like phenomenons and stories, that my head is just spinning. I've done already 5 to 6 episodes this week. I'm really tired, but I love it, and I love doing it, and I'm not, you know, complaining. But, you know, I would like 2 days of just literally shutting my brain down, not looking at TMZ, E, CNN, Page Six every morning, and just, you know, resting my eyes. Because, like, sometimes when I look at my phone too often, I'm sure many other people have this in common, especially during, you know, COVID times, pandemic times, and now that so many people work from home, it's like your eyes just need a break from staring at this, like, crazy LED light at the phone. I don't even know if it's an LED light, but whatever. So yeah, that's just me, but I couldn't be more grateful that it's a Friday, and I'm also really looking forward to finishing this episode, not because it is, in fact, Friday and I have 2 days off, but because I'm going to go get a coffee, and I'm in dire need of caffeine from Groundwork Coffee at Larchmont Village. If you know, you know. If you don't know them well, I'm way too tired to even explain it to you. I was gonna go to Alfred's, but I just want to go to, you know, Groundwork, because they're reliable, and they, you know, get my system going, and they're delicious coffee. And also, I didn't have a coffee yesterday, Thursday, because my day got away from me, and a bunch of stuff going on, and that's besides the point. But I have 6 great stories for you guys today, which I'm really excited to talk about. But before I get into that, I just want to say, as you know, I'm, like, obsessed with TikTok. It's my favorite app ever. And I was, you know, on a TikTok, going down the TikTok rabbit hole, and I came across what the content that sort of algorithmically comes my way are mostly animal videos. Really cute dog videos, cat videos, horse videos, gorilla videos. By the way, LOL at that, like, gorilla video that was on TMZ today, with, like, the gorilla going down the other gorilla, and, like, parents shielding their kids' faces. It was so funny. I was at least howling laughing. And the fact that gorillas do that is, like, crazy. But it's like, you know, you gotta do what a girl's gotta do. And, like, apparently, I mean, we evolved from gorillas, mankind, right? So it's like, it makes sense. But it was so funny. It's on TMZ if you wanna check it out. It's not a story that I'm gonna talk about today, but it is a really, really funny video. But anyways, what I was saying was, I was going down the TikTok rabbit hole, and I came across this Asian American woman's TikTok videos. And, you know, on TikTok, you have to have a niche, and you sort of consistently post that same niche. That's how you get viewership. This particular woman, what she posts is ASMR of her eating, like, raw foods. And it's not gross. I guess she puts the microphone in her ear or something, like the sound piece in her ear. And she eats, like, what to me looks like the most deliciously, like, seasoned, like, raw foods. It's beyond. And I literally, it makes me salivate, because it's, like, delicious Chinese looking food. And I was salivating last night watching it. I had to order some yummy food. I happened to order McDonald's. Don't judge me. Because I was so hungry, but it was like, that's why I love TikTok. You know, people are so creative. 1 minute you're watching, you know, cute little puppies and little chicks, like, you know, chicks, like duck chicks, like, play with each other. The next minute you're watching a woman ASMR chewing and swallowing her food. It's like, it's so crazy. The world is vast, and the world is just so creative, and I live for it. But anyways, that's, you know, that was what I found very entertaining. What do you find entertaining? Like, we all have our weird quirks and stuff. But aside from that, let's get into our stories, because I really want to talk about some stuff. Of course, starting with the New York Times review of the Dear Evan Hansen movie, which is facing some type of criticism, surprisingly, because the show is so incredible and the soundtrack is phenomenal. But I have heard tell that the film is not so great. That's not my opinion. That is others' opinions. But we're going to get into it. So the first story of the day, the New York Times, Dear Evan Hansen review. You've got a friend, not making an ungainly leap from the Broadway stage to the movie screen. The musical Dear Evan Hansen is the story of a liar, an accomplished fabulist who uses a troubled classmate's self-harm to gain popularity. Yet the movie, and this is what the author wrote, and the author's name is Jeanette Katsoulis, yet the movie, I assume in keeping with the Tony Award-winning predecessor, which I have not seen, wants us to not only sympathize with his character, but ultimately forgive him. That's a very big risk. Wait a second. What? Wait a second, I assume, which I have not, oh, she said she hasn't seen the show, so she's seen the movie, okay. It's not simply that Ben Platt, who is about to turn 28 and reprises his stage roles, Evan, is as unconvincing a high school senior as John Travolta it was in Grease, gripped with crippling social anxiety. Evan is a sweaty, palmed mess, his darting eyes and coiled body language repelling other students as he sings lustily about his feeling. About feeling unseen. Of course, waving through a window, but it's one of my favorite songs ever. But that's, you know, taking a pause for a second, that's actually one of the things that I noticed from the trailer. I mean, of course, Ben Platt should reprise his role as Evan, I mean, it makes sense because he originated that part is his, and he was so supremely talented playing that part. Not Evan, Ben Platt, sorry. I also was thinking, and I mean, because I know his father, Mark Platt, is a big producer, and he produced the Broadway show Wicked. I was thinking that Ben Platt should play Bach in the movie rendition of Wicked. I really, really think that's going to happen. I don't know why. Okay, my only two picks for... Oh, this is a fun game, because, you know, we'll get back to the article, but this is a really fun game. My picks for the Wicked movie are as follows. For Bach, Ben Platt, naturally. A little bit of nepotism, but he's also... He has the chops and the pipes to prove, you know, to carry that role. Jessica Bosk as Elphaba, and if you know, you know. If you don't know, then just go to YouTube and watch her. She's a powerhouse. Not surprisingly, not Dove Cameron as Glinda. Not because I don't love her. I think she's adorable, and she was great in Hairspray. But I think we need a newbie, and I think Glinda should be... POC, a person of color, because not just because it would be in tune with the times, but because I would love to see a non-white woman play that role. And quite frankly, there are a lot of talented gals out there who I have seen belt their lungs out on TikTok singing Elphabot, honey, they ain't white. Maybe Camila Cabello. Well, maybe not, but I don't know. And then it's Madame Morbel, of course, Christian Chenoweth. And then they need to write another role for Idina Menzel, of course. The Wizard, I was thinking would be Kevin Chamberlain, who from Jesse. You know, he played the butler, but he was also in, he was in the original Broadway cast of Seussical. He played Horton, and he just has an incredible roster. Oh, maybe Glinda could be Debbie Ryan. I know Debbie Ryan's not ethnic, but I love her. Or Skye Jackson. I just love the Disney family so much, and I want to give those girls opportunities. Zendaya as Glinda! And Zendaya can sing. There we go. Zendaya should be Glinda. That's it. There we go. I mean, I'm done. Literally, Zendaya and Jessica Bosk. That's it. Okay, The Wizard, Kevin Chamberlain, Madame Morbel, Christian Chenoweth. Who else is there? Oh, Fierro. Oh, Fierro. There's a lot of handsome guys. Depending on who's Elphaba, I think Fierro could be Zac Efron. I mean, he's so hot and it would be so perfect to him. Obviously, he was so great and his Greatest Showman. And the fact, and Zendaya and Zac Efron have such great chemistry. And obviously, Elphaba and Fierro have a thing. So I think that would be great casting. Why did I go off on this tangent? Oh, right. Dear Evan Hansen. Well, let's go back to the article. Sorry, you guys. I love Wicked so much, and I always go off on a tangent when I think about it. Where was I? Oh, yes. The songs are mainly by Benji Plask and Justin Paul, one of fellow outcasts. The volatile Connor Murphy, Colton Ryan, takes his own life while in possession of one of Evan's therapeutic self-addressed ladders. Letters. Connor's devastated mother and stepfather, Amy Adams and Danny Pino, become convinced that Evan was Connor's best friend. Okay, let's just read... written by Stephen Levinson and awkwardly directed by Stephen Chbosky, who's no stranger to teen drama, Dear Evan Hansen is a troubling work, one that constructs a devious, superficial, and at times comedic plot in, around adolescent mental health issues. The dialogue interspersed with hilariously on-the-nose song lyrics is trite, yet the story shines a useful spotlight on the internet's traitorous turns and the way social media exploits tragedy. In one telling scene, students posed for selfies at Connor's flower bedecked locker, conveniently forgetting this was someone they had previously disliked and ostracized. Even with its stretched out running time and emotionally coercive structure, there will be weeping, no doubt. This peculiar picture has a few bright spots, including illuminous Julianne Moore as Evan's overworked single mother. By the way, Julianne Moore is an icon. I mean, for me, she's always going to be President Coin from The Hunger Games, but, you know, she's obviously has a great roster of work, and I love to see her in this film. Moore might disappear for much of the movie, but her one song is so genuinely moving, it only underscores the emotional surrounding it plays. Also notable is Amandla Sternberg playing the resident school activist and moral conscious who brings an unforced longing to a song about being anonymous, that she helped write. This is the New York Times, so obviously it's like jargon and dialogue that I just can't, words, verbiage that I can't pronounce, but that's fine. But the film's most squandered opportunity resides in Denver's nuanced portrayal of Zoe. Caitlin Dever was in that movie with Beanie Feldstein. Booksmart. Iconic. Whose exhaustion over the family's obsessive attention to Connor needs highlights. The strain of being the sibling of a troubled child when she admits to being afraid of Connor at the moment is brushed aside as she, too, is duped by Evan's fairy tale portrait. Okay, let's see what else here. Oh, that's where the review ends. Okay. Well, the New York Times didn't give that scathing of a review, which is actually quite surprising. But from what I've heard, it's a bit long, and some musicals just don't translate well from stage to screen, and also Ben Platt's wig is horrendous. And I haven't even seen the film, but when I saw this in the trailer, I was like, no, honey, no, because Ben Platt looks younger with his normal hair. I don't know. I mean, I'm no hair or makeup, you know, maestro. I mean, they should have gotten, what's his face, Makeup by Mario to do this, because he's an icon, clearly. The guy has talent. But yeah, I mean, I want to see it because I love the music, but, you know, I don't love a long movie musical, with the exception of Moulin Rouge, because that's a really long film. But I mean, Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor, iconic. One of the greatest films of all time. Jim Broadbent. Oh, chef's kiss. Okay, well, that brings us to our second story of the day from TMZ. This is literally the most shocking news ever. I, like, screamed when I saw it. It's not because it was just shocking, honey. It was like, it's about one of my favorite, you know, basically teen idols. This is from TMZ. Harry Potter star Tom Felton, of course, Draco Malfoy, collapses during golf tournament, carted off course. Okay, well, Tom Felton, as you guys know, played Draco Malfoy. Iconic, so good, so handsome. He's really crushing on social media, but I guess he had a little bit of a health scare today on the golf course, hitting the balls. So let's talk about that. Oh, and by the by, I just had to turn on my AC, so if you hear a little bit of a, like, you know, thunderous wind or whatever in the background, I had to turn on my AC because it is hot AF here in LA. Okay, Harry Potter star Tom Felton fell violently ill during a celeb golf tournament, collapsing and unable to leave the course on his own 2 feet. That's so crazy. What is Gretchen Wiener saying, Mean Girls? When she's reading that letter after Regina says, Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. While Caesar stomps on his own 2 feet. Something Gretchen Wiener says. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Felton was playing at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin Thursday when he suffered an apparent medical emergency and passed out. Tournament medical staffers were quick to attend to the actor, wearing masks, of course, to the actor, load him up on a cart, and take him for further evaluation. It's currently unclear what triggered the episode or what his current condition is, but the good news, Tom was conscious and appeared to be smiling when he was taken away. Felton, who turned 34 yesterday, happy belated, is competing in a celebrity-style Ryder Cup tournament before the real deal kicks off this weekend. He's representing Ireland. Who knew that Tom Felton was, like, a pro golfer? Love to see it! He's like the next Tiger Woods, but Tom Felton's way handsome. I got my eye on him. Felton rose to global fame as Harry Potter's foe, Draco Malfoy in the popular book series, turned film franchise. He's an avid golfer and has participated in several tournaments over the years. Well, it makes sense. I mean, he probably made a fortune playing Draco Malfoy. So now he's just having fun, living his best life. Like, he's basically retired. Like, he did all of the work that most of us are doing now as adults, as a child. Now he can just live his best life. Like, that's the way I should have done it. But I, in fact, was not a child actor. I was, like, in school. I was like, what the hell? But I wish Tom Felton a speedy recovery. I'm glad he's smiling. Maybe he was dehydrated. Maybe he didn't have enough water, liquids, or whatnot. But scary. Scary times. I've passed out before from being dehydrated. Well, in truth, I was very hungover, and I woke up, and I passed out. And it's actually, I'll never forget this. I was at a girlfriend's house. I was, in high school, maybe? I drank too much, and I just woke up to use the restroom, and we were sleeping in her basement, her parents' house basement. It was a finished basement. It was totally fine. I was walking up the stairs, and I just passed out. I went tumbling backwards down the staircase, and I don't remember this happening. I just remember waking up, and I was like, what happened? And you know that feeling when you faint, and you wake up, and you're still really out of it, and, like, everything is, like, there's, like, stars and stuff. That's some scary shit. But I wish Tom Felton a speedy recovery. And he looks good golfing. Okay, third story of the day. This is actually an update about our queen, Wendy Williams, and her recovery, speaking of, like, craziness, of, like, you know, fainting and whatnot. Wendy Williams on the mend and ready to get back to work after health issues. Oh, this is music to my ear. I need my Wendy. I need Wendy. Despite recent images of a frail and lonely-looking Wendy Williams being pushed around Manhattan in a wheelchair, insiders tell Page Six, the daytime talk diva is ready to get back to work. Quote, Wendy's on the mend and doing well. There was a meeting this week and execs assured staff the show will return October 4th and Wendy is ready to get back to work. A source familiar with production told Page Six. In the past few weeks, Williams has postponed the premiere date of her show due to ongoing health issues, announced that she tested positive for a breakthrough case of COVID-19 and reportedly checked into a hospital for a mental health check. But on Wednesday, the Daily Mail published new photos and a video of Williams talking to an unidentified man for 30 minutes as she waited outside a Verizon wireless store. She had her mask down and was bizarrely vaping before rolling up her window once she noticed the camera was rolling. Let me click this sublink really quick and just see what this is all about. Let me see. I love the Daily Mail. They're so, like, shady. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. There's Wendy Williams in a wheelchair being pushed out by a gentleman. She is vaping with her mask down. She looks like she's all dolled up. She has one of those pen vapes, a Louis Vuitton face mask, and she looks very... But Wendy's always been skinny. Yeah. Look, no judgment. People go through shit, and Wendy Williams has gone through a lot. She's just doing her. You know, everybody's just trying to get by, and everybody's trying to stay afloat, so... I wish Wendy a speedy recovery, and I'm really happy to hear that she's doing well. Here's something interesting. William's brother, Tommy, provided an update on his sister on his YouTube channel earlier this week. He said he has, quote, faith that Wendy is going to make it and described her condition as stable. I spoke with her. She's hanging in there. We're praying. She's fighting, he said. I mean, I know many people think that Wendy Williams should retire or whatnot, or maybe just take time to heal, which, hey, you know what? That would be great, too. And Wendy can do what she wants to. She's obviously... accrued quite a bit of wealth doing this show. I think her net worth is like 60 or 70 million. She's fine. But she's been through a lot. So I totally understand people that go through highs and lows. It's like I said, we're all trying to just stay afloat and keep it going. So Wendy Williams, I wish you a speedy recovery. And girl, you are fabulous as always. And of course, you look fabulous smoking a vape. I smoked a vape once. I mean, it was like one of those Juul things. Didn't love it. It was like... A friend of mine was doing it in the car, and I was like, oh, what's that? Is that a cigarette? Me being, like, so naive to the world. He's like, no, it's a vape. I was like, what's a vape? And then he had to explain it to me. I was like, can I try? I mean, I've only ever done weed. Which, you know, hey, who hasn't? And I didn't love that because it made me very hungry. And I love to eat, but, like, I don't even know where I was going with this story. But anyways, Wendy Williams, how you doing? And you look fabulous. Okay, fourth story of the day. A little bit of an update. No, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yes, this is the fourth story of the day. Okay, this is sort of... I was shocked, honey. I was almost in tears, in the words of NeNe Leakes. Tom Girardi. I think Erika Jayne knew about my legal woes. Okay, there was a video that surfaced yesterday. I had already recorded my episode, so I didn't talk about it, but it was of Tom Girardi, Erika Girardi's ex, estranged husband, whatever. I don't know. And he's speaking. He is spilling the tea, and he's throwing his ex-wife under the bus, which is... I mean, I was shocked when I... Literally shocked. I'm just gonna read it. Tom Girardi may have just implicated his estranged wife, Erika Jayne, in his dramatic legal struggles. Pop, the paparazzi, caught Girardi, 82. Oh, I saw this video all over TikTok. It was actually the first video I saw when I woke up. I was, like, half asleep, and I was like, what? What? And I literally woke right up. Pops caught Girardi, 82, leaving a two-hour lunch with a friend at an upscale restaurant and asked the question on everybody's mind, quote, did Erika know anything? The frail-looking former lawyer briefly paused before he shockingly threw Jayne under the bus. I think she does, he stated. And then obviously the guy he was with, his friend, I presume, or whatever, was like, put the camera down. You guys, this is not good. The admission is stunning and potentially legally troubling for the 50-year-old star of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who filed for divorce from Girardi in November 2020 after 2 decades of marriage, given that she has extensively claimed that she had no idea he was allegedly embezzling millions of dollars from his clients over the years. Erika Jayne made an appearance in Las Vegas earlier in the week, but despite Jayne's repeated denials, other housewives have joined the chorus of accusers. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills alum Camille Grammer alleged that she heard of Jayne and Girardi's financial woes at Andy Cohen's baby shower in 2019. And of course, Bethany Frankel, which I talked about earlier in the story, said she knew some stuff too. This was definitely, I mean, Erika was paparazzi at the airport. She obviously did not say a damn word. Yeah, this was pretty crazy. I mean, what some will, I'm sure, argue, and what I kind of thought when I saw Tom speaking was he definitely seemed... Because the way he answered the question, the tense was incorrect. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. Semantics. But he did answer the question, even though the tense was wrong. So, obviously, there's been this narrative that Tom has early onset dementia, which is tragic. But he clearly knew Erika and sort of the... gist of the question, so it's very... But Erika's lawyers are going to argue about the onset dementia and him not knowing what he was saying, but then, of course, the people who are suing Tom and Erika are going to obviously say, well, look, he just admitted it, but... I don't know. This is... I mean, unfortunately, this did not happen... This happened after the reunion was filmed, but you guys, there is going to be so much... excuse me. There's going to be so much to talk about for this next season of Real Housewives if, in fact, Erika is going to be asked back, which I'm sure she will be, because pretty much this whole season was Erika was the star, even though it was, like, in a negative light. Eyeballs are tuning in. Beverly Hills is really the crown jewel of the Housewives franchise, in my opinion, in Atlanta. It used to be New York, but ever since Bethany and, like, thing left. Like, it just went down. Oh, well, keep you up to date with that. Fifth story from TMZ, another update with the tragedy that's been going on. Brian Laundry, federal arrest warrant issued in Gabby Petito case. This is crazy. This is shocking, honey. Brian Laundry is now a wanted man by the feds. An arrest warrant has been issued, but not for Gabby Petito's death. A federal grand jury indicted Laundry for the crime of use of an unauthorized A federal grand jury indicted Laundry for the crime of use of unauthorized access devices. Specifically, prosecutors claim Laundry used a Capital One bank debit card. The document... I have a Capital One credit card. Hey, girl. Well, he doesn't use a mine, that's for sure. The document does not say it's Gabby's card, but that doesn't seem like much of a leap. The indictment gives a timeline for the alleged unauthorized use of the card. It was used from August 30th to September 1st to purchase items totaling at least $1,000. What's significant, he returned to his parents' Florida home September 1st, and the FBI first asked the public for assistance with Gabby's case around August 28th. She would later be reported missing on the 11th of September. By the way, there's been two updates to this story, which I'm going to read in a moment. It's interesting the feds aren't linking the homicide to Laundry, at least not yet. That's probably because there are still loose ends. Namely, there has to be probable cause to get a warrant for her death, and it's unclear if there's physical or other evidence at the crime scene linking Laundry to the homicide, but the indictment allows the feds to take Laundry into custody, that is, if they can find him. Now, there's been two updates. Oh, sorry, there's been one update yesterday at 3:38 p.m. Pacific time. The feds are tipping their hand. The warrant for Laundry's arrest is about way more than illegal credit card use TMZ obtained. The motion filed by prosecutors requesting Brian be held without bail before his trial because he's a danger to the community. Allegedly swiping someone's credit card can hardly seems like a public safety issue, so the motion strongly suggests the feds suspect he's involved in something way more nefarious. The docs also state what's obvious at this point, that Laundry is a serious flight risk. Yeah, because it's literally like a real-life manhunt. He's a man-eater, make you work hard. By the way, that song by Nelly Furtado was so iconic. I was listening to it, like, 5 times today. I listen to it all the time. I love Nelly Furtado. I'm like a bird, man-eater, iconic. But if you know the movie John Tucker Must Die, they use that movie. They use that song in that movie, and it's so good. But that's not what this is about. What this is about is Brian Laundry needs to, like, get caught. And, like, what if he pops up in, like, my house? I don't think he lives in L.A., but, like, what the hell? He's on foot. He's, like, literally... I don't even know. I don't even want to... Justice for this young woman. Justice for her and her family. Okay, and this brings us to our sixth and final story of the day, which is an update with the tragic passing of the late Willie Garson. The cause of his death has been revealed. This is from E! News. Sex and the City star Willie Garson died of pancreatic cancer, his family has revealed. An obituary was published in the New York Times Thursday, September 23rd, paying tribute to the 57-year-old actor who played fan-favorite character Stanford Blatch on the HBO comedy, my favorite, of course, reprising his beloved role for the franchise's film and the upcoming revival series in Just Like That. Quote, William Garson Pazement, better known as Willie Garson to his many fans and throughout the entertainment industry, noted actor of stage, film, and television, has died at age 57 at his home in Los Angeles, read the obituary. The cause was pancreatic cancer. The star's 20-year-old son and only child, Nathan Garson, announced his passing on Instagram on September 21st with a beautiful tribute to his dad. Quote, I love you so much, Papa, he wrote. Rest in peace, and I'm so glad you got to share all your adventures with me and were able to accomplish so much. I'm so proud of you. I will always love you, but I think it's time for you to go on an adventure of your own. It's a beautiful tribute. I highly suggest you guys go on to Instagram and look at it, and some wonderful photos of him and his dad and their travels and the life that they had together, which is, it's a heartbreaking story. But he was privately going through this. I mean, it actors, celebrities, musicians, anyone, nobody owes it to the public to share the intimate detailings of what they're going through. But I'm sure the cast was aware of it, and it's a really sad story because, you know, it's one of those shows that is so beloved. It's, you know, in the zeitgeist type of show, you know, that really becomes so beloved, like much like Friends and, you know, Game of Thrones. It's, you feel, even though we don't know these people personally, we feel like we do through their work, their incredible work. So rest in peace, Willie Garson. All right, everybody, that is our Friday episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Have a fabulous fabulous, stellar weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Kick off your heels. Have a cocktail. And if you don't drink, have a mocktail. And you do you, sis. I will be back on Monday with some stories. Hopefully some stories. And if not, then, well, I'll make up some stuff. Because I do love chit and chatting with you. I'm Andrew DeVitri, the mistress of pop culture. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone. Basically anywhere where podcasts stream. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. And XOXO, Gossip Girl.